From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. NPR's learned NATO plans to assume command of UN-backed no-fly operations over Libya, where coalition airstrikes are targeting Muammar Gaddafi's defense system. Although there has been no official word yet on who gets control, NPR's Tom Bowman says he's been told by a Pentagon official that NATO could be handed new authority as early as today, while the U.S. remains a crucial player.
What the U.S. will still contribute is what's called their unique capabilities, and that's refueling tankers, AWACS planes, and also command and control aircraft, those sophisticated aircraft that only the United States has.
NPR's Tom Bowman bringing us the latest from the Pentagon as we get word of more clashes between Libyan troops and rebels in both eastern and western Libya. NPR's Eric Westervelt is in Ajdabiya, where he says rebels don't appear to be making much progress and civilians are still on the run.
Huda Ali Abdullah says a government artillery round hit her house last night in Ajdabiya, all but destroying it. Her family wasn't injured, but with her house badly damaged and with water and electricity cut off to the city, she fled today, hitchhiking with her brother and four young kids toward Benghazi. How can Muslims kill their Muslim brothers, she yells. How is this possible? Both sides are yelling, God is great. Shame on both of them. We used to be united, she says. They're scared and confused, she adds, of her four young kids huddling next to her. One day they call Gaddafi Father Muammar. The next day, he's our enemy. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, outside Ajdabiya.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates' plans to push for Israeli-Palestinian peace may run into more resistance. He's in Israel a day after a bomb exploded at a bus stop in Jerusalem. A British tourist died from her injuries. As many as 30 people were wounded. Gates was expected to press the U.S.'s case that peace negotiations should continue. An air traffic controller who failed to respond early Wednesday morning to two approaching airliners at Reagan National Airport outside Washington is now suspended. More on this from NPR, Zoe Chase.
It's a good thing they don't broadcast what the pilots hear in the cockpit over the PA system, because this is what the passengers flying into Washington might have heard early Wednesday morning.
American 1900, so you're aware, the tower is apparently not manned. We've made a few phone calls, nobody's answering.
That's a regional control center talking to a pilot who's trying to get cleared to fly into D.C. The planes landed safely. The FAA is conducting a full investigation into why there was only one controller in the tower and why he didn't respond. The head of the FAA, Randy Babbitt, says the controller who was supposed to be in the tower at that time is suspended, and as a former pilot, he is personally outraged.
This is NPR News. Most major roads in Japan are open to all traffic. NPR's Jason Bobian reports that should help ease shortages in the area struck the hardest by last week's earthquake and tsunami.
Food, gasoline, and other goods remain in short supply across much of northeastern Japan. Lifting the emergency restrictions on the main highways is expected to revive disrupted distribution networks. Trains, however, still aren't running in the hardest hit areas. Large sections of the coast that were pounded by the tsunami still are without running water and electricity. With almost all stores in these areas closed or destroyed, aid groups are handing out food, and the Japanese military has started distributing drinking water from tanker trucks. Jason Bobian, NPR News, Sendai, Japan.
The tragedies in Japan have prompted one researcher to examine just how powerful a role religion plays in the way people view natural disasters. NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty gives us this glimpse into one U.S. survey.
After the tsunami, Robert Jones of the Public Religion Research Institute wanted to know if Americans see God's hand in natural disasters. He found in a poll that fewer than one in three believes God sometimes punishes nations for the sins of some of its citizens. An exception was white evangelicals, most of whom say God punishes nations and that natural disasters are a sign from God. Jones says 58% of this group also sees recent natural disasters as a fulfillment of biblical prophecy.
White evangelical Protestants, Republicans, and those identifying with the Tea Party are more likely to believe that natural disasters are evidence of what the Bible calls end times rather than evidence of global climate change.
Most other Americans point to climate change. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.
Before the close, the Dow was up 85. This is NPR.